All right. Welcome, everyone, to our Wednesday night Jubilee meeting. And you glad you're here? Say amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. We've had a wonderful week thus far. And we started off on Sunday morning with Brother Snyder, Pastor Emeritus, Brother Snyder, that is. And I like to pick on with that, but Lord really used him on Sunday morning and talked about that God is looking for a man to show himself mighty through. And, of course, the Perrys were singing with us, or singing in service on Sunday morning. Sunday night, we had kind of a singer's change out, and the old past came in. And Brother Sammy Burgess preached for us. And basically, his message was this, don't give up. Don't give up because God's still God, and the Lord's in control. Don't give up. So we appreciate Brother Sammy and the word he brought to us. And of course, on Monday night, Brother Ricky Gravely came through here and preached on the rapture, rapture ready. And we had Jaden's call, actually Deborah Perry and Jaden's call on Monday night and then last night. And so we appreciate Brother Ricky. And then last night, Brother David Smith preached his heart out, preached a tremendous message. And talking about how to pass the test, Genesis 22. And Brother David shared his heavy heart with us there at the end of the sermon. And of course he mentioned it last night, and it was on Facebook Live. We had special prayer for him. But I was asked if you'd help pray for Brother David Smith, battling cancer right now. And but he's confident that the Lord's going to bring him through. Talked about the ram in Genesis 22. And how that Abraham in his obedience, he was making his way up. And then on the other side, as he went up, there was that substitute. And Brother David texted me this afternoon. And he told me, he said, been to the doctor, but pretty much they moved my appointment or give me an additional appointment for next Wednesday. And it's kind of aggravating when you're looking for some answers like that and they push you off for another week. But next Wednesday, he's going for a biopsy, so pray for him. And he said, Brother Justin, I'm looking for my ram. I'm looking for my ram. And so what a tremendous message. All right. Well, what we've been doing this year, I really wanted to emphasize prayer at the beginning of Jubilee every night. And believe in prayer. You believe in prayer, amen? And I believe that our source of strength and power is through prayer, and got to have a prayer life. And so that's what I want us to do. Each night we'll take our time in prayer. And so I want to do that now. And then just shortly after that, we're going to have a song or two, maybe three. And then we will toss it over to Brother Byron. But so good to have Floyd Road with us tonight. And Floyd Road Baptist Church. And we're going to hear their choir here in just a little while. And so good to have Brother Keith here. Every time we get together, I feel like I have to say it. It just comes out, probably because it means so much to me, Brother Keith. But there were some times when I was the building grounds man at Floyd Road, struggling with God's will and what his plan was. And many times I came up to your office and got a second and shed many tears on Brother Keith's shoulder. And appreciate you being there for me, brother. And I know your church loves you, and so we love you as well. So looking forward to hearing from you in just a few moments. All right, well, let's go to the Lord in a word of prayer, and we're just going to take our time like we have been in our prayer, and then we'll turn things over. Father God, we come tonight in Jesus' name. Lord, it's been a busy week. It's midweek. Everybody's scrounging to get here, Lord, and I'm so thankful for that. I'm so thankful for Floyd Road that moved their service here, Lord. And Father, I'm thankful for Brother Keith who accepted the invitation, Lord. I know he has a message for tonight, Lord. God, I thank you for Brother Alan Young, whose church is represented here tonight as well. Moving their service over here. We appreciate that. Appreciate all of his church members. Lord, there's three churches represented tonight in your house. whole lot of hearts, Lord, going through different things. Some of us are on the mountaintop, and some of us are in the valley low, and some of us are waiting on doctor reports. Others have been to the cemetery. It just reminds us, Lord, when we come together with so many different people, God, that there are so many different needs and so many different concerns and things taking place in life. Lord, tonight my prayer is that we would clear our heads. Help us do that, Lord. Give us a clear mind and a calm heart, Lord. Help us focus on you and what you want to do tonight. God, you've blessed so far in the meetings, as you did last night, and Brother David, and talking about the test he's going through. Father, tonight I pray you'll just smile upon us. Lord, I pray that there will be a liberty to worship. God, we're not interested in, we don't put on no shows. It's no competition, nothing like that. We just want to worship you, Lord. You've been good to us. And Father, in return to that, we offer unto you the sacrifice of praise, unashamed of the gospel and unashamed, Lord, of who may be, we may be thinking that someone is staring and watching, and Lord, it's none of that here. Let us raise our hands, Lord. Let us offer that sacrifice of praise to you, which is the fruit of our lips, God, unashamed. We're all here for the same reason, Lord, and that is to hear from you and to praise you and to leave different than the way we came in. Father, tonight we pray for all the requests we've taken this week and so many needs and so many different situations. God, we lift up to you once again Ukraine and everything, Lord, that they've been going through and hiding out in the bomb shelters, Lord, and getting murdered. And Father, with it's even touching us with what the president just passed with putting a stop to the oil transfer. And God, I don't know what if we'll feel any more effects from that or not, but help us, Lord, be mindful of Ukraine tonight, because that could be us. That could be us. So, Father, tonight we lift up Ukraine in prayer. And God, we lift up, again, all of those needs we've mentioned this week. For Jaden's call and little Emery and Jaden, Lord, himself, that needs 24-hour care. We pray that you strengthen them. And again, God, we ask that you be with Brother David and his upcoming appointments. Father, be with every preacher that ever pastored has come this way this week. God, we pray for a special blessing upon them and upon their homes, God. And I just pray a special blessing upon Brother Keith tonight, God, that you'll just touch him. Father, use him tonight, God. I pray, God, that whatever is said and done, whatever message that comes forth, we know it's from you. And Lord, that you'll just use it. Bless him and Miss Kim, Floyd Road, Lord, and what they're doing. We're just so very thankful for them. And Father, tonight we yield ourselves to you. And God, we ask you to forgive us of our failures, our shortcomings. We don't want anything standing in the way tonight of true worship. We want to lift up holy hands. And tonight, Father, we love you, we thank you, we praise you. We commit this service to you. In Jesus' name we pray with thanksgiving in our hearts. Amen.
You pray for us tonight. Does anybody in this place remember the day or the night that you got saved? Oh, that was weak. Do you remember the day or night you got saved? Amen?
Amen.
Praise the Lord. I'll never forget that. It was the greatest decision, Brother Keith, I have ever made in my life, to accept the Lord Jesus as my personal Savior. And I recall the change that it took place in my life. Old things have passed away and all things have become new. And I'm so thankful for that. This song reminds me of that every time that we sing it. It says, when I got up, I knew I'd been changed.
Once in
What a wonderful moment, what a glorious time. The day I met Jesus, I was his and he's mine. Blinded eyes are now open, I can see the light of day. What a great didn't understand why he wouldn't come as they made their way toward the other side. As they left the shore, they faced the storm, and suddenly they feared for their life. But upon the sea there, someone walked on the water as they listened for his cry. That's when they heard him call out their names, and tenderly he said, "It is I." He's the eye of the storm, the center of my calm, the place where I find shelter, the place where I find home. Feel the sunshine, and my ship is tossed and torn. He's the eye of the storm. They didn't understand how the Prince of Peace could find them in the middle of their sea. But with a little faith in God's good grace, joy would overcome their disbelief. Now there are times in life when I face the storm, and I wonder if I ever will survive. That's when I hear him call out my name, and tenderly he says, "It is I." He's the eye of the storm, the center of my calm, the place where I find shelter, the place where I find home.
He's the eye of the sometimes in this life, you might get discouraged. You wonder if you're all alone. You're just barely hanging on. Just stop and remember all the things He's done for you. Just look up to Jesus, and He will pull you through. So I will lift my praise to the one who goes before me. Lift my praise to the one who sets me free. If I'm on the mountain high or in the valley low, I will lift my praise for the world to know. I will lift my praise for the world to know. To know.
Forsake us, and it's true. You're my today and my tomorrow. I'm not living without you. So I'll give you every breath. Lord, use me as you will. You made a way when there was no way. I can help but worship you. So I will
lift my praise to the one who goes before me. Lift my praise to the one who sets me free. If I'm on the mountain high or in the valley low, I will lift my praise for the world to know. I will lift my praise for the world to
Savior, you're my anchor, you're my refuge through the storm. I can't help but speak your name, Lord. We're gonna praise forevermore.
So I will lift my praise to the one who goes before me. Lift my praise to the one who sets me free. If I'm on the mountain high or in the valley low, I will lift my praise to the one who goes before me. Lift my praise to the one who sets me free. If I'm on the mountain high or in the valley low, been there in the lowest of times. I've had questions in my mind and I've been scared. But I know that I have a Savior who knows right where I am and hears my prayer. In the midst of all my problems and the burdens of this life, I will call upon the one who can get me through the night. Lord, hold my hand in the middle of my storm. When I'm sinking down, help me to stand. When the waves are crashing round, may I keep my eyes on you. 'Cause Lord, you're the only one who can help me get through in the middle of my storm. I don't know how the story will end. I didn't see this in the plans you have for me. But I know that I can trust in the one who's working all things for my good. Though I may not know the answers till I reach the other side, I will keep my eyes on Jesus till my faith becomes sight. Lord, hold my hand in the middle of my storm. When I'm sinking down, help me to stand. When the waves are crashing round, may I keep my eyes on you. 'Cause Lord, you're the only one who can help me get through the middle of my storm. Lord, you're greater than my problems, greater than my fears. You are greater than my weakness, greater than my tears. And you've never let me down. And you are here with me right now.
Right now.
Lord, hold my hand in the middle of my storm. When I'm sinking down, help me to stand. When the waves are crashing round, may I keep my eyes on you. 'Cause Lord, you're the only one who can help me get through. You are the only one who can help me get through the middle of my storm.
Right, now it's time to make the switch, all right? So here's what we're going to do. Let's have everyone stand, give you an opportunity to stretch your legs for a minute. Brother David, if you'll give us some traveling music, and we're going to get out of the way and let Floyd Rhodes Choir. Would you please make welcome to Calvary tonight the Floyd Rhodes Baptist Church Choir.
Yeah.
once again for giving us the invitation to be here this evening. Brother Justin, Brother Allen, thank y'all so much. It's always an honor to be here. And thank you, CJ and Jackson, for helping us out this evening. We are thrilled to be here, and we're going to sing two or three songs more for you this evening, and I pray that they'll be a blessing to you.
We stay.
I'm afraid of, a little scared of, I guess. We actually had the opportunity to learn this song with Eastwood Baptist Church, and combining the choirs, it made this song a little easier because this is a big song.
Yeah. Well, it's a privilege to be here with you tonight, and I'm going to have to get with my choir director when he's going to blow the house out like that and then turn it over to me. Appreciate Brother Justin inviting us to be here tonight, and let me say I really appreciate all the cards you folks sent over the last few weeks, and I'm glad you sent them before you heard me preach. And that one that stuck the $38 of the power company in there, see me at the end, I'll give you a check back. So good to see Brother Snyder, and I know there's some other pastors in here. I feel like he and Justin are, I don't rub shoulders with a lot of preachers and all, and I'm not saying that's a good thing or a bad thing. I just don't. I just stay in my flock, and they keep me busy enough, but I do count them both as dear friends. And Justin, some of those days you knocking on my door probably did me just as much good knowing that God was still calling young men and working in their hearts as anything. And so it was a ministry to me as well. And I don't tell this story very often, because when I get to preaching, I don't get silly anymore, but I'll be silly to begin. I don't tell this story very often. One day, Brother Snyder and Justin and I, we were out in the country walking and just having a little bit of fellowship and talking about how God had been good in our ministries and just sharing a little bit of advice and counsel and how much each had grown in the Lord and preaching. And you know how preachers are. We can all strut sitting down. And so we devolved into which one of us could preach the longest and the hardest and the strongest. And we walking by this old barn. Old big old skunk like you see up in northeast Georgia sometimes waddled out in front of us, went up in that barn. And Brother Justin said, well, I'll tell you what, I got a good idea. Whichever one of us can go in that barn and preach the longest with that old skunk in there, said, staying focused on the word and preaching and not distracted. I said, that'd be a pretty good measure of who really can preach. And Brother Justin said, I'll go first. And he went in there, and I mean, really, he preached from Genesis to Revelation. I mean, just ripping it up for about 15, 20 minutes. And then he'd come out and said, whew, good Lord, I can't take it no more. And so Brother Snyder went in there, and boy, he preached it. I mean, you could tell he'd been preaching a little longer than Brother Justin and I in about 15, 20 minutes. He come out and said, shoo, good Lord, I can't take it no more. I went in and preached about 5 minutes, and a skunk came out and said, good Lord, I can't take it no more. So hopefully you won't join the skunk tonight. If you have your Bible, open up the book of Ruth. Ruth, chapter number 1. Ruth, chapter number 1. We'll just read for now the first 5 verses. I appreciate all the good singing, Brother Justin, and your ensemble and your choir and Floyd Road. I appreciate y'all coming and being faithful on a work night and getting across town and everything. I do appreciate that. I hope there's not a lot of Awana kids that didn't get the word running around the parking lot, Brother Snyder, over there. But we appreciate all our Floyd Road folks coming. I know there's another congregation Brother Justin mentioned. We appreciate you being here as well. Scripture says in the book of Ruth, chapter 1, starting in verse number 1, now it came to pass in the days when the judges ruled that there was a famine in the land. And a certain man of Bethlehem, Judah, went to sojourn in the country of Moab, he and his wife and his 2 sons. And the name of the man was Elimelech, and the name of his wife Naomi, and the name of his 2 sons, Mahlon and Chilion, Ephrathites of Bethlehem, Judah. And they came into the country of Moab and continued there. And Elimelech, Naomi's husband, died, and she was left and her 2 sons. And they took them wives of the women of Moab. The name of the one was Orpah, and the name of the other, Ruth. And they dwelled there about 10 years. And Mahlon and Chilion died also, both of them. And the woman was left of her 2 sons and her husband. It doesn't seem like maybe there's a whole lot in that text right there, but we preachers, y'all pay us to sit around and dig and look and pray. And I believe that God has given me a word out of here. I preached this before to my people, and I think it's a word that is very appropriate. It's the right word in the right time, in the right season. We find these folks here, and the Bible tells us plainly that there is a famine. But it also tells us that they are, in that moment, in Bethlehem, Judah. That means the house of bread and the house of praise. Can I tell you tonight, folks, I don't care what's going on outside of us. I'm not really concerned too much. I pray, and I'm telling you, I've shared with my church the other day, Ukraine makes me mad. I'm not as lean, I'm not as mean, but I'm still United States Marine, and I think I can solve everything. And then God says, none of that occurred to me. I knew before I said, let there be light, what was going to go on in Ukraine. You get back, and you preach the word, and you love on God's people. And can I tell you, Brother Snyder, I got to remember that God has put me in a place of bread and praise. God has satisfied all of our needs. Now listen, and we think about that, and praise God, most of us going to go home to a nice warm house tonight. Most of us going to get in a car. I know it was 429 today, but we're going to get in it, and we're going to ride home and turn on our radio, and we're going to be safe. We're going to open up the refrigerator, and we're going to have some needs that are met on a daily basis. But can I tell you, that's really not my greatest need. Because this old flesh that's quickly approaching 52, can you believe that, Brother Justin? It's starting to break down, and it's starting to fail. And as David said, I'm going to go the way of all the earth when he talked to his son Solomon. And I'm going to stand before my God and my King. And then I'm really going to see the fulfillment of the fact that I've been living in the house of bread and praise, and that he had met all my need. He met all my need in the Son, his only Son that he sent down to the cross of Calvary. Justin, I love over there in Isaiah. We read that Isaiah 53, and we read about all that he went through on that cross and how that he is bruised and by his stripes we are healed. But I love it when you get down to about verse number 11, and it says, and God shall see of the travail of his soul and be what? And be satisfied. He provides our need in that perfect sacrifice. You and I are in the house of Bethlehem, Judah. We are in the house. We are in the family. We are in the church. The gates of hell, what? Shall not prevail against us. We are blessed. They were blessed. But there was a famine. Charles Spurgeon said this once, better poverty with the people of God than plenty outside of the covenant. And that famine came, though, when it's easy for me to stand here tonight and talk about the blessings when Elimelech is looking around at his sons who are already named sickly and pining, if we go into the Hebrew, because they were little guys and they were sick from their birth, no doubt. And now there's a famine. And it's a dry time. And oh, we have the blessings there in Bethlehem and Judah, but his eyes began to look for a place during those dry times where there could be bread. There was an allure of the bread. There was the need there. There was the strong desire to take care of his family. And so in his mind, he casts about and says, if we go to the south and we go to the east into the land of Moab, things will be better there. And so the Bible tells us he picks up that little family. He moves from that place of bread and praise, and he begins to move toward where he sees there is something that is alluring to him. If you look at the map and you begin to trace the path that they would have to go, you'll notice that it's not very long after they leave that they go by Jericho. And even today, archaeologists will tell you when they look there, go home and Google it, everybody does, it'll tell you evidence of a strong earthquake and a fire. Well, we know who brought the earthquake and we know who brought the fire. But they have to walk past that old city. I can imagine them boys going, Dad, why does that old place look so rough over there? And Elimelech, as he's taken one little step away from the place that he's supposed to be and the place of God's provision, looking toward the world and what it can give and feed his belly, he has to tell them, well, that's where God prevailed. That's where God simply told us to march around, and on that last day to march around seven times and the walls fell down. That's where God came through. And now they come, they've got to cross over the Jordan. Now they've got to go back across the river. And if you'll read in Joshua chapter 3 and chapter number 4, I'm not really good on addresses. I can show you right in my Bible when I flip it open. You'll come to that place where there's 12 stones setting up on the bank. And if it was the dry season, there was 12 stones inside the river when the river went down. And Joshua, when he got that command from God, when they went across, God said, you take 12 stones up out of here and you put them up there on that land and you stack them up, one for each of the tribes that I am providing for, that I'm bringing across on dry land. And Joshua put some down in the river, and God says, in the years to come, when your children ask you and say, what means these stones? You will talk about my provision. And so Elimelech is reminded time and time again as he takes one little step, another little step, away from the place of provision, away from the place of praise. He's reminded time and time again of the goodness of God, and yet he still goes. Now, you ain't got to be a genius to figure out where I'm headed tonight, folks. Listen, there is an allure in the world out there. There are things that will catch our eyes. There is a lust of the flesh. And can I tell you, you think you are stronger, but Peter will say the devil's like a lion. You stronger than a lion? Now, my God is, and when I'm in his presence, and when I'm tucked up close to him, I fear no evil. But when I leave his presence, and I leave his place of provision, and I leave his place of praise, I'm headed for trouble. He's headed for Moab. He should have known better. The very name Moab, I know I got some young ears in here, but the very name Moab means I got it from father. It's a euphemism because Lot's oldest daughter conceived from her father and bore the Moabites. Don't look at me that way. That's Bible. Moab is the very place that when Israel is there sojourning in the wilderness, and they're in Shittim there, that the Moabites came and drew them away to worship false gods. It's Balak, the king, that goes and hires Balaam to come and to curse Israel from Moab. It's the king Eglon of Moab that allies himself with Ammon and Amalekites and then makes Israel into slaves for 18 years. And all of this, Elimelech knows. And those that are really Bible scholars, you'll go, well, you got your timeline wrong. Well, I'm just going to give you this one just so you see the heart of Moab. This happened after the time of Elimelech, but Israel is at war with Moab, and Elisha tells them, we're going to have a victory. We're going to win. The battle's ours. The king of Moab gets scared, and you know what he does? He takes his firstborn son, and he sacrifices, and he burns him on the wall. And Israel is so appalled, they said, we don't want to fight these people anymore, and they go back. Elimelech should have known. Moses died in Moab, just short of that promised land. God held him accountable for striking that stone. That was a picture of Christ in the desert. He's smitten once on the cross and gives forth the water of life. And the next time you need, you don't smite him again and put him on the cross. You simply speak to him and you ask him, and he cleanses you of all your unrighteousness. But Moses dies there in Moab, short of the promised land. And Elimelech and his boys are going that way. Forgive me, Brother Justin, we got a Joel Osteen special now at my church. I'm not used to having my mic down there. That's where our similarities part. Verse number one, if you'll turn your eyes back to the scripture. Now it came to pass in the days when the judges ruled. Some seven times by my count, maybe even more, you'll find that phrase in the book of Judges. Why, every man did what was right in his own heart. So even as I'm looking at this text and all this is coming into my mind and my heart, that Elimelech, where are you going? Why are you going toward Moab? Why are you leaving Bethlehem, Judah, where you're supposed to be? I read that and I go, maybe we can't blame him. He looked around inside Israel, God's called people, the people who had been overshadowed during the day with the cloud in the desert and the fire to keep them warm in the desert by night, the ones that gorged themselves on manna, and don't sit there in our hearts and judge them. We have been more blessed than even they. Those people that are there, suddenly there's no king. They're not listening. Samuel's not yet come onto the scene. And every man is just doing what is right in his eyes. They were living in the promised land, but it did not look like the promised land. Church, I'm not your pastor. I almost took my pen and just crossed this out of my notes, Brother Justin. I'm not your pastor. So can I just entreat you? As Paul says, I won't enjoin you. I'll just ask you for love's sake, as he said to Philemon. Will you make sure your promised land looks like the promised land? Will you make sure when folks do come in here, what a blessing is. I went down the hall when I first got here, new members on. What a blessing. When God sends them your way and God brings them to you and they walk into your church in Floyd Road, when they walk down our aisles, let it look like the promised land. Let it smell like the promised land. Let it sound like the promised land. Let it feel like the promised land. No gossiping. No bickering. About to hair lip you all. No politicking. No Phariseeing. You know, when God set it up, he said one tribe out of 12 to be Levites, to be priests, to be overly religious every day. That means God knows 8% need to be overly religious. The other 92% can come see them one day a year and leave with blood on your hands. That's God's plan. Look like the place. Salvation. Somebody don't look like us, throw an arm around them. You know who they look like? My God. They're an image bearer of the Almighty Sovereign God who said, let there be light, and will sound the trumpet and bring us from every kindred, tribe, tongue, and nation, and we will sing a new song together. Our promised land needs to look like a promised land. In fact, Jesus would say this, a new commandment I give unto you, that you love one another as I have loved you. That you also love one another. Oh my goodness. Brother Keith, when are we going to study Revelation? When I get this stuff down. I got to love Brother Justin the way that Jesus loved me. And God commended his love toward me while I was yet a sinner. Brother Keith, we can't hang out with them. Are they sinners? Then love them the way that Jesus did. I ain't talking about condoning their sin. I ain't talking about jumping in there with them. I'm talking about be the sweet savor. Be the salt. Salt might hurt their wound sometime, but you're healing them. Be the light. Dark eyes, when they come into the light, it hurts, but eventually they can see. Make sure our promised land looks like the promised land. Paul would tell the church at Philippi, finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue, if there be any praise, think on these things. Let's let our church look like the promised land. The Bible says they went. Even with the promises there, even with the provision there, even with the reminders there, you talk to anyone that's ever backslid, you look into your own heart, if you've ever been to a bad place of backsliding, you will see I went right past the warning signs. I went right past. Heard a preacher one time say the Holy Spirit, he's there to reprove you, right? And remind you. Now listen, everything that Jesus said, but also what? Judgment to come. That's his job. That's what he does. He said, but the Holy Spirit will preach it to you just like this. And listen, I'm borrowing this from another preacher. This ain't original with me. Don't get me for plagiarism. I can't remember who he was. I'm getting to be old. But he said this. The Holy Spirit, when you step out of line, he'll go, hey, dummy! Amen. You ignore him and you walk a little bit further. He'll go, hey, dummy! You get a little further, he'll say, hey, dummy. And you don't walk past Jericho. You don't walk past a pile of stones. You walk into a land where God dropped manna down on you when you were at the point of death. when you were dead in your trespasses and in your sins, and he quickened you, but we still go. We smell bread. We feel a lure. We fall prey to the sin that has so easily beset us. The Bible says they went. They went to sojourn. How many tragedies start that way? Luke 15, as Jesus is really teaching the Pharisees that they should rejoice over one that is saved, just like you find a lost sheep or a lost coin, and how much more a lost son. But he tells that story that we call the prodigal son, the spendthrift son. It says, "And not many days after, the younger son gathered all together and what? And took his journey into a far country, and there wasted his substance with riotous living." John would even say in his book, his 1 John chapter 2, he would talk of those that came in for a while and then went out from the church. He said, they went out from us, but they were not of us. For had they been of us, they would no doubt have continued with us, but they went out. John records in his gospel as Judas receives the command from Jesus that thou do quickly. Says he then, having received the sop, went immediately out, and it was night. Oh, folks at Calvary, God has blessed you with a pastor that loves you, a pastor that preaches to you the truth, a choir that sings beautifully. And listen, God inhabits the praise of his people, and you get to get right in there where God lives. When they come in here and sing, don't go. Stay. I know there's a smell of bread. I know the devil will jump up on your shoulder and tell you, you are going to miss something. Come down to Moab and check it out. Don't go. Some will say in their heart, I'm just putting one foot out in the world. Brother Keith, it's 2022. Yeah, that means we're closer to judgment than ever. That's all that means. They went what? To sojourn. They went down there just to hang out for a little while. Literally in the Hebrew, it means just to turn aside for a moment, just to get on the side of the road. That's the way the devil will work. And Brother Berman, that used to open Jubilee here for years and years and years and years, would preach to us there, that sin will take you farther than you wanted to go, cost you more than you wanted to pay, keep you longer than you wanted to stay. And the Bible says by the time we get into verse number 2, that they continued there. We step out into the world, and we forget the bread. We forget the praise. Our language will change. Let me tell you what, you know how to check your heart. When your language starts changing, check your heart. When the meditations of your thought, of your heart, maybe not like in the days of Noah, on continually only on evil, but suddenly they begin to check your heart. They got there and they now continued. Literally in the Hebrew, they existed there in a bad land. And those of you that are worried, I'm almost done. But I want you to stay with me. Elimelech was not a bad man. He was a good man. His very name meant God is my king. We can tell by the character of his wife when we read on into the story that she's a good woman. She knew that God was holding her accountable. Don't call me Naomi, call me Mara. I came back bitter. He's a good man because the influence went down to his pagan daughter-in-laws. They are heartbroken that now Naomi is going to leave them. Elimelech was a good man. Got a phone call a couple of years ago. sitting in my office. As soon as I heard the voice on the phone, we all have those people. As soon as you hear their voice, no, we're not going there, Brother Snyder. We're going the other way. I was happy. You pastored too long, brother. I was joyful. I had not talked to him in a while. Good man. In fact, a great man. And I have to be careful because listen, if it would not just accentuate the point, I probably wouldn't even go here because I'm not a gossip. And listen, this person is still my friend. I would jump in the car right now and meet him anywhere. But his voice broke just as soon as we got a little bit into conversation. And he said, I didn't want you to hear this from anyone else. He went on in a very broken voice, and I could hear him weeping, and now I'm beginning to weep on this side of the phone, and there had been an infidelity, and he was having to leave the ministry. I'm talking about somebody, I wish that God would just give me that much of their preaching ability. I mean, that's how much I looked up to this person, and what a dear friend they were to me. And he said, before I knew what was really happening, I fell. A good man. Elimelech was a good man. But let me tell you this tonight, church. Good men die in Moab. We step out of the house of bread. We step out of the house of praise. Good men go there to die. Sometimes they never come back. Lost my mom and my dad in October, 17 days apart. I'm still a shambles at times. Can't walk into their house. It just smells like them and brings back just memories to me. But my dad would tell you about his uncle. Wandered away from God. Family worried that he wasn't saved. One night or a Sunday afternoon, they had the dinner. They're begging the uncle there, will you please come to church? Will you please come to church? God might speak to you. He says, I know I need to go to church. I know I need to hear from God, but he just don't talk to me no more. Man ran a 40-acre farm, worked from dark to dark, never beat his kids, took care of everything he was supposed to. We would look at him and say, a good man, good men die. In Moab. Elimelech wasn't the only one who died. His sons died in Moab too. Oh, moms, dads, Sunday school teachers, deacons, pastors, God have mercy on us. Pastors, preachers, we will receive the greater condemnation. It makes me tremble. It causes me to look at the stippled ceiling at night and worry sometimes, Brother Justin. Am I there? But can I tell you what? I'd rather be worried inside the house of bread and praise than worrying down in Moab. Everything that we do has ripples. It has waves. We've got children looking up to us. Dads, let me tell you this. Sorry, Brother Justin. I know this ain't my church. We have failed a generation. We play around in Moab. We come home and smell like Moab. We come home and talk about Moab. We turn on the TV and we watch Moab and we wonder why our kids die in Moab. You are the high priest in your family. Now listen, there are ladies in here, you've taken up that role. God bless you. I know that don't fit in good with the independent fundamental Baptist crowd, but God will supply the need. If the man is not in there, the woman will step in and pray probably twice as hard and long as the man would. But we need to keep our kids out of Moab. Amen. They died there. They buried them there. Verse number 6. Then she arose with her daughters-in-law that she might return from the country of Moab. For she had heard in the country of Moab how that the Lord had visited his people in giving them bread. Did you get that? Now, I went to South Cobb, but I could work this out, okay? They went all the way over here. Sorry, Brother Richard, you're in Moab. Looking for bread. Out of God's will, away from God's people, away from God's promise, away from the fellowship of the saints where we're bearing one another's burdens and so fulfilling the very law of Christ. Over here, and they were looking for something. And back over here, boy, I should have done this the other way around. I'm over here with these preachers now. Over here in the Bethlehem and Judah, where they fled thinking that they were going to starve. Guess what came up out of the ground? Wheat. Bread. Oh, we got to get out of here. We'll never make it over here in that old-fashioned church with them old pastor up there preaching everybody, them old singing them old songs. We'll never make it over there. We got to go over here. Somebody stay. In the famine, in the dry moments when it looked hopeless, somebody said, this is where we're going to stay. This is where we're going to plant our flag. This is where we're going to bring out the disc. Haro, see, I come from the country. We're going to lay over some rows down here, and it's dry, but we're going to keep putting seed in the ground. We're going to keep covering it over. When the rains come, we're going to lay by. We're going to fertilize, and we're going to wait for God to promise. Somebody stay. And they heard all the way over there in Moab, we didn't have to come down here after all. And they went back. You flip on another page or two, what a great story. Ruth gets into Jesus' bloodline. Because her and Boaz have a boy named Obed, and Obed has a boy named Jesse, and Jesse has a boy named David, and God can take a mess and make a miracle. He's sovereign. He's sovereign. If you're over in Moab, don't think, well, he's just kicked me to the curb and I'm done. No, turn and go back to the house of bread. You're going to have gray hair and you're going to be bitter a little bit. But you're going to find bread. And when she came back, Brother Justin, the whole town, Naomi's back. She looks different, but she's back. You know what I just imagine? Now I'm out of the scripture. I think they gave her some of that bread. I think when they went to harvesting, she said, listen, we went down there, we've lost everything, but we've got a near kinsman. Now go over there and this is what you do. You say, well, you've lost me in the illustration. We're gonna have people go off to Moab. And they're going to come back when they hear there's bread. Yeah. You don't shut the cupboard. You don't hide it from them. You don't fuss at them. Tell them I told you so. Trust me, they know so. The Lord has convicted and drawn, and that's why they've come back. You know what the picture is? You're looking down the road. Somebody coming slow. No, it can't be. He's been gone so long. Oh, my goodness. Is that my boy? And you run down and you throw your arms around her neck and you kiss him. Right there where old Slop was hanging on to him from the old pig pen. You call for a robe. You call for some shoes. Call for a ring. And you call the servants and say, get a party ready. Because this is one that was dead and is now alive. Amen. And when they come back from Moab, let them smell a sweet savor of the Lord when they walk into this place. Amen. Restore such an one so that they're not overcome when, as Paul points out, they repent. And you love them. Good men die in Moab. Can Can I say, ladies, good women die in Moab. Good teens die in Moab. You stay where God has blessed you, with a pastor, the choir, and the church, the Holy Spirit that will accompany you. And as has already been said in tonight's service in Hebrews, he reiterates his promise, or he has said, when we want to be covetous and we look out at the world and those things, he has said he'll never leave you nor forsake you. It's enough. Even good men die in Moab. And in church, when they do come back, have a robe ready. Have a ring ready. Have some shoes ready. Welcome them back into the fold. If you'll stand with me all over the house tonight. Some musicians come and we bow our heads, we close our eyes, and we put everything else out in this old world, out of our mind and out of our heart. And each man, woman, boy, and girl prepares to do business with God. Can I ask you this? Maybe you're here tonight, and I know this is a Wednesday night in a jubilee. I know the crowd, but I don't know your hearts. I went to church from the age of 5 to 18 and did not get saved. New verses, won awards in Awana. I'm 18 years old on the last Friday night of May 1988 at the Shiloh Campground when they used to have Jubilee at the youth meeting on that Friday night. Brother Tom Farrell preached. I got convicted. I knelt down with my knees in some big old gravel rocks and used a bumper of an old Ford Comet for my altar, and I asked the Lord to save me. And maybe there's somebody that's here tonight that's in that same place. You know verses, you may even know theology, you may even know Daniel's 10 toes, but you don't know him. Can I tell you, he showed his love for you. The sacrifice that was made for you was perfect. God looked down on him and saw the travail of his soul and was satisfied on your behalf. Now, Paul would tell you this. What's left? The word of faith that we preach to you. It's nigh, it's close to you. It's right on your lips. If you'll confess him as Lord and Savior tonight and believe that God raised him from the dead, he'll save you. But I know for the most part, everybody, we're Christian folks in here. We're church folks. Can I challenge your heart one more time? Stay in the place that God has provided for you. Don't smell the bread of Moab and think it's better. I don't care if you've got to quit hanging out with those certain friends, talking to a certain coworker. Care if you got to throw every laptop and computer in your house in the river, pull out every cable receptacle in your house. That's what you need to do. Moab's alluring. Moab is tempting. But even the good die there. God, strengthen us. Lord, help us tonight. Let us look into the truth of your word and listen to that Holy Spirit that is guiding us. And Lord, let us draw ever closer to you. Let us, as Brother Bill Stafford might tell us, let you be our source, our course, and our force, Lord. And Lord, and I pray one last time for that one that may not know you, God. Bring him to a place of salvation. Let the scales from their eyes fall and let them see the glorious light of the gospel. And we'll be careful to give you all the praise, and we ask all these things in the strong, strong name, the name of Jesus. Amen. Amen.
Anybody tonight will respond? Come on down right now. First verse. If you're in Moab, come out of Moab. If you're thinking about going there, come on down tonight. Ask the Lord to help you. have some already down here. It just makes it easier for you to come if you need to come tonight. Don't dispose of this message. God spoke tonight. There's some people in here I know for sure that should be in these altars tonight. And you know who you are. Respond to the gospel message tonight. You'll be glad you did. Don't waste any more time and energy in Moab. Come on down tonight. Keith, we appreciate that message tonight, and we received just what we needed tonight. Thank you, brother. Thank you. And you know, we're not promised another day. I'm not going to stretch it out or anything, the invitation, and pull any arms or anything, but we're not promised another day. And if you belong to the Lord, today needs to be that day. Today needs to be that day that you turn around and come back. We'll sing another verse. We're going to sing another verse and extend the invitation just for a bit longer. Nobody comes, we'll change the service. We'll close out.